We've all been there. We're in PE, or maybe it's recess, and all of a sudden, two people have been selected, and now they're picking teams. Maybe it's kickball, soccer, basketball. The sport doesn't really matter, because that anxiety, that nervousness that begins to well up inside of you, it's always the same. Even the most athletic among us know the feeling. The need to keep turning your head to see who's left, because we're all hoping to be chosen, hoping to be accepted, hoping to be included. And it isn't just grade school kids that struggle with this. I was just talking to my sister the other day about this same desire to be included. She's in her mid-30s, like me, and we were talking about how difficult it can be to make friends once you're no longer in school. And it's not that she doesn't have friends. She and her husband, they have plenty of friends. They're super social. But they don't have that close-knit group of friends that my parents always had. You know, the friends that you can call every day, that circle of friends that's close enough that you're basically just one giant family. And as I was talking with my sister, I realized that over two decades later, we aren't that different from those grade school kids who were worried that we weren't going to get picked or that we're going to be left out of the kickball game. Because we're all looking for that group to be included in, that group that welcomes us, that feels like the perfect fit. Feelings of love and belonging are essential to the human experience. Whether we're waiting to be picked for a team in our gym class, whether we're searching for a group of friends, whether we're looking for a church where we feel like we fit in, we're all looking to belong. Many of us spend our whole lives hoping to find a place where we experience a sense of belonging, professionally, socially, even within our own families. We crave that sense of being known, being welcomed, of finding a home within a community. We crave those places. We crave those spaces where we're loved, where we belong. Which brings us to our text for today. There Jesus is, standing in a line with all the others, waiting to be baptized by his cousin John. And there he stands, along with the good and the bad and the ugly. And when John sees Jesus, he hesitates, protests even. Baptism is about repentance, preparation for the kingdom of God. You can just see John shaking his head. I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. Not the other way around. And just as John hesitates in baptizing Jesus, many of us do the same. Hesitating when approaching baptism, when approaching God in general. We often think that we aren't good enough. It's as if we think that God or the church won't accept our flawed and imperfect selves. That somehow we won't be welcomed into the family of faith. We all have parts of ourselves that aren't pretty. And for many of us, parts that are downright unlovable. And most of us have been taught to hide away those mistakes and flaws. The things that make us different. The things that make us ashamed. And it's those things that make us feel like we aren't worthy of being on the team, that we aren't worthy of being someone's friend, that we aren't worthy of being loved. All of us have flaws. All of us have sinned. The challenge for us is to trust that God sees us as worthy. For so long now, movies and magazines, TV shows and commercials, even our friends and our family around us have made us believe that I'll be worthy only if. I'll only be worthy if I can lose 20 pounds, if I can stay sober, if I can raise the perfect child, if my parents are proud of me, if I get that promotion, if I get into the right college, if I make straight A's, if this, if that, then I'll be worthy. But there aren't any prerequisites for God's love. We don't earn God's grace. We don't earn God's love. We're simply welcomed in. And baptism, it's the beginning of that. The beginning of a lifelong journey. It's the moment when we surrender ourselves to living life like Jesus. It's our initiation into the body of Christ, whether we're baptized as an infant or a child, a youth or an adult. And it goes well beyond the day that we're baptized. It's about uncovering the name that we've always had, uncovering the belovedness within us. There's no longer any question about whether we're worthy. We belong. We belong to God. And baptism, it's a reminder of who we are, of where our identity lies. That reminder that we are God's beloved. Because when John does concede to baptize Jesus, the heavens parted as Jesus rose from the waters and God declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And God's words, they aren't just for Jesus. They're for us too. Because in God's eyes, it's not only Jesus that is beloved, but all of God's children. All of us. We are God's. And God calls us beloved. What I'm called means a lot to me. Names mean a lot to me. Which works out well because I really love my name. I'm one of three children, and my sisters have very traditional names. Amy Elizabeth, Sarah Catherine. But I guess if you have three girls, the third one, we just went a whole different direction. And so we threw out the traditional names, and I got to be Colleen. And I went through a stage in preschool and early elementary school where I didn't like that I had an uncommon name. Where I grew up in Shreveport, I was the only Colleen I knew. But by the time I got to middle school and high school, I loved that I was the only Colleen in the entire school of over 1,000 people. But I never realized quite how much that family name meant to me until Adam and I decided to marry. I mean, don't get me wrong. You've heard me gush about my parents and my family before in sermons, and I'll readily admit that I am oddly close with my family. We talk on the phone way more than anyone should. Right, Dad? So, take a few weekends ago, for example, when Adam and my dad decided to go hunting, and so my mom drove the 5+ hours down here to spend the weekend with me because. So it's not like I didn't know that I had this super strong attachment to the Buchter clan. But I guess I just didn't realize how strong my attachment was to the Buchter name. But when it came to conversations about marriage and possibly changing my name, I could hardly imagine not being a Buchter. My name had just become so much a part of me. Not that taking my husband's name would have been wrong or would have changed any of that. But to me, my name was just so wrapped up in how I viewed myself. My name and my identity were just enmeshed, wrapped up in each other, that to stay calling Buchter, it meant the world to me. and to my identity. But to know that God looks at me and calls me not necessarily Colleen, but beloved, stirs something deep within that 7-year-old who wasn't picked to play kickball at recess, or that 20-something-year-old who struggled to find friends between college and grad school. Because that's what baptism is about. A community. A community of believers, an identity in Christ, knowing that we belong, that we were created for this, to be God's beloved. To find our identity in Christ, it gives us a whole new outlook on where we stand and on who we are. We are God's. We are beloved. Amen.